Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm always glad that you tuned in, but happy Wednesday to you. Well, you know, we all go through different dark seasons at times, but for those who've experienced depression, those seasons can seem long and especially dark. And I've been honest, I walked through a time of depression a little over 20 years ago for about a year. And I actually am so grateful that I walked through that time because I have a whole new compassion and understanding for those who walk through it in a chronic sense. And one of the audacious prayers that I pray behind the scenes on a regular basis, I'm praying for traffic victims, I'm praying for the poor, for slaves, for the oppressed, I pray for the depressed. I'm praying that there would be a wave. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm just going to tell you, a wave of deliverance, that there'll be these suddenly moments where the chains would suddenly break, whether you're depressed because of a spiritual oppression or you're depressed because of a chemical imbalance. But just imagine it. One moment you're depressed and the next minute you're not. Can you imagine it? I can. So I pray on a regular basis, Father, deliver the depressed, heal the sick, feed the poor, mobilize, save the slave and the human traffic victim. Care so much about that. And if you've not dealt with depression, no doubt you know somebody who has. Well, the first hour today for Live the Promise is an artist corner, which if you listen often enough, we do that. We bring artists on. We hear the backstory behind the songs. We listen to some of their music. But this particular artist, Danan Kane, is up and coming. He's got some beautiful, beautiful music. Great, great gifts to share today. But he also is very honest about his battle with depression. And so we're going to hear about his story, his journey, even his insights on what it means to navigate these waters of depression. Second hour, our good friend Dr. Greg Smalley comes back on the program to talk about the importance of maintaining health mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, spiritually, and specifically how that impacts our relationships, how the choices we make around these things, how that impacts how we show up in our marriage, in our relationships. So that's the second hour. Now, before I get Dana on for first hour, I want to remind you, back by popular demand, we're doing another spiritual reset show. That would be tomorrow, Thursday, first hour. So the last reset show we had was such a big hit. We talked about how the enemy comes against us in diminishment, in discouragement, in distraction. And so the purpose of the reset show was for you to get your Bible, get your journal, and I would address each of these three things. And then when the music would play, you just get some time to pray and journal and sort through and untangle yourself from the lie that the enemy is kind of trying to fasten to you. You know what I'm saying? Well, tomorrow we're going to deal with these three things: worry, waiting, and wondering. The tendency to worry about the things that are going on in your life that are very legitimate. The waiting, when you're in the not yet season of that prayer answered, and the tendency to have soul angst in the meantime. And then the wondering about the future. What does the future hold? What's going to happen to our economy and our safety and our political climate? We're going to do a spiritual reset on these three things so that we can get the mind of Christ, get back to a place of peace and hope and perspective. That's tomorrow first hour. So if there's any way you can plan to get your journal, get to a place where you, and if you have to drive, drive and pray during the music, but if you can, get with God, sit down, and let's get together and do a spiritual reset. That's first hour tomorrow on Love the Promise. All right, let me not waste another minute. Let me tell you about my first hour guest, and we'll get him on the program. Danan Kane is a Wisconsin native with a passion for music. He started off as a basketball-playing pre-law student in college before detouring to music. His songs are a fixture on independent and college radio stations throughout the country. You can find him on the web at danankane.com. Danan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, good to meet you. Well, Danan, we'd like to start out all of our conversations talking scripture, and we've got a specific reason for that. What we just love is how each of you come to the table with a verse that God's been speaking to you about, and as you unpack it, it sort of brings life to the word to those who are listening. Maybe they'll see it in a fresh new way. And you chose Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wow, that is a passage. Talk to us about why you chose that one.
I think, as a worship leader, I need to remind myself that yeah, I want to lead times of worship and musical contexts in churches and things like that. But my overall goal is for myself and for others to really lead lives of worship, not just in those contexts, but in our daily lives and our families and our relationships. And for myself, it's kind of a reminder because it's a struggle in this culture and in this world to really live a life sold out to Christ, to really be a living sacrifice, to lead a life that says this life is a thankful prayer and praise of worship to you. And so it's actually a more of a reminder to myself that every day I want to renew my mind and more than just lead musical worship, I really want to worship him with my life.
That's beautiful, Dana. And really part of that passage where it talks about not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, putting our mind on things above, having our mind agree with Scripture versus our circumstances. And when we do that, when we stand in agreement with God's perspective on us, our value, our life, our call, then we're able to test and approve what His will is. But I think it's so interesting, if we let our thoughts go rogue, our perspective gets clouded as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, the end of that passage is I know for myself, when I'm really focused on Him, focused on Scripture, in the Word daily, I feel like I have a lot more peace and perspective of what He's calling me to do in that season of life. But when I'm kind of disconnected from Him, I'm more focused on the things of culture, the things that the world say that I should be focused on. I feel more lost. I feel kind of torn in 1,000 different directions and not very focused on the thing that God is pressing on my heart. So yeah, it's a big part of it is really how focused are we on not just the here and now, but where we're going? Are we focused on the eternal perspective that this is not our home, that the purpose of our life is not, you know, that great job or that great relationship or looking good or whatever it may be, but really that our purpose here is to be prepared for what's to come and to share the hope of Christ with as many people as possible.
Amen. Well, Dana, give us a little background on your faith journey, how you came to Christ.
Yeah, I kind of grew up in a really small town, excuse me, in Wisconsin. And it's interesting. My mom heard the gospel in a Bible study, not a part of our church. We went to a kind of a traditional church that was a little bit more morality based, not really gospel based, and she kind of heard the truth of the gospel in a Bible study and shared it to me and my brother as when I was really little, and it connected to me. I really there was something about it that I grasped, and so at a really young age I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I understood that I was a sinner and that I made mistakes and that I needed that atoned for, and so I prayed to receive Christ when I was a young kid. But because of the small town and not a lot of options of fellowship and really good Bible teaching, I really didn't grow much until I got to college. And when I got to college, I got involved with a campus ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ, and that's where I first was kind of introduced to other people my own age that were really living for Christ, really reading the Bible and figuring out who God really was, not who we thought He was or who we wanted Him to be, but really the character of God in the Word. And so when I was about 19, that's kind of when I took that faith into action and really started growing the most.
Isn't that the truth? In fact, there's a study done that just, who was it? I'm going to draw a blank now. But when you read Scripture 4 days a week or more, there's a noted change in a person's life where it just, I mean, any time in the Word is great. But when there's a consistency of getting in the Word, that's when you start to see a real heart connection and a life connection and things change. So powerful. Is that around the time, Dana, in college when you discovered you had a gift for music, or was it before then?
No, that was right around that time. Previous to that, I was really, really heavy into sports. That was pretty much my sole focus and sole, you know, life passion. And I didn't do anything musical till I was 20 years old. My sophomore year in college, when I started getting involved with the campus ministry, it seemed like everybody around me played guitar, and I had never even seen a guitar until I got to college. And I just thought, wow, that's really awesome. I'd really love to learn that, because we were having kind of small group worship times, and I had never really been a part of that. I didn't know contemporary Christian music even existed until I got to college, and so kind of my eyes were open to a lot of things, and I really just picked up a guitar to learn, you know, four simple chords so that I could learn some simple worship songs to be a part of those worship times, and discovered really quickly that I had a kind of a knack for it and an anointing, and it just kind of spiraled out of that. 1 year after I picked up guitar for the first time, I had my first independent record out.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was just kind of crazy. But yeah, that year the year before I laid basketball down my freshman year of college. Just felt like God was taking me in a different direction, and I didn't know what that was until my sophomore year, and that's when I got involved with music and really started to see him use me in some kind of cool and unique ways.
Hmm. Well, my one son says that we have to be willing to lay down the thing that we know that he's asking, to lay hold of the thing that we don't know that he wants to give us. And that there is that kind of free fall in that moment where you're trusting him, going, all I know is you want this and you want to give me something different, something better. But to be willing to do it, Dana, when in a day and age when I'm sure your identity probably felt very connected to your ability, that really shows how surrendered your heart really was.
Yeah, it's interesting because my identity was completely wrapped up in that. And if I'm really honest, I was very arrogant about kind of my abilities in sports, and I worked really, really hard at sports. I mean, I played basketball 5 hours a day, no joke. I mean, I loved it and I wanted to achieve, but I had such a selfish attitude about it. I wanted glory for myself. I wanted to be known as something. I wanted people to love me and appreciate me because of how good I was at X, Y, and Z. But when I laid that down, I remember the day that I quit in the locker room, and I bawled. I just cried so hard because I felt like everything that I was now over, and I had to kind of start over. And I really felt like, well, why would people like me now? Why would people want to hang out with me? Why would people enjoy me? And it was like being completely stripped. And the interesting thing about music is I really didn't have to work very hard for the doors that opened with him. When I had that simple desire, I didn't have a desire to get famous. I didn't have a desire to sell a million records. I just had a simple desire to learn some chords so that I could participate in some small group Bible study worship times. That's really all I wanted. And to see him take just that simple seed of faith and that simple, I want to glorify you, God, attitude, he blessed me way more in music than he ever opened doors in sports. And I think it was because I wanted to glorify him more than I wanted to glorify myself. And so I saw that really stark contrast. And when we really want to please him and glorify him and be used by him in something, I think he tends to really bless that and really open up doors for us to use those gifts.
I mean, isn't that what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added? I'm telling you, you know, I interviewed David and Jason Benham. They're twin guys. I want to say boys, but they're grown men, twin grown men. But truly, they were about to have a reality TV show with HGTV, and some activist groups found out they were Christians. Long story short, it was canceled before it ever launched. But one of the things that they say is that if your focus, even if it's on ministry, success, platform, you're still focusing wrongly, because suddenly then you can justify all sorts of things in the name of Christianity, compromises and self-ambition. But if your focus is on Jesus and Jesus alone, if you focus on the depth, he'll bring the breadth. And it is easy, I think, once you start to get the blessing and see the success, to shift your gaze and try to manage it all. But the idea to keep ourselves tucked in the shadow of his wing, keep our eyes fixed on him. He knows where we live. He knows who needs what he's given us. He really can do that. He can do that, can't he?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point, and those are great thoughts, because even when you get into ministry, I mean, you can have your heart and your focus, identity, wrapped up in ministry and not be focused on him. I think that's a daily battle, to really be focused on him and his word and what he's calling us to do that day, instead of building our own empires, even with our ministries, even with our non-profs and our good things that we do. If really our kind of secret heart's desire is to build a bigger name or make more money or you know, look good in people's eyes, you know, a lot of times that's just as evil as anything else. Oh. We really need to be focused on what does Christ call me to do? How can I serve people around me? What gifts has he given me to edify the body, not myself, but to really bless people around me? And that's, I mean, our flesh is strong and we're selfish people, and that's a daily battle that we have to think about and lay down every day if we really want to be sold out to him.
It's so good. And one of the things that Benham Brother said is even our dreams, even our God-given dreams, we need to hold with an open hand and be ready to die to, because he's like, I want to see pastors who would be willing to sacrifice the pulpit where they're not guarding their territory. Because if they're guarding their territory, they'll compromise their convictions at some point.
And
and you go back to your Romans 12, 1 and 2 passage you opened with, that is it. I mean, it's the surrender. It's to say, I'm going to do all that you've asked me to, and I'm going to be a living sacrifice and live life with open hands. And I think that's just absolutely powerful. Well, talk about the inspiration behind your album, Flesh and Soul.
Yeah, Flesh and Soul is just kind of that picture of the battle that we all face every single day between the flesh and the spirit. You know, our own selfish desires, our own sin, and also wanting to please God and be obedient to him and really treat him as a Lord, not just someone that we believe in to forgive our sins, but really a Lord, someone that we follow, someone that we surrender to, someone that we say, your opinion is greater than mine. I will follow what you say. And for all of us, I think that's a long, that sanctification process is not a snap of the fingers, you know, a 180 a lot of times. A lot of times it can be a long, painful process that we take two steps forward and one step back and three steps forward and four steps back, and we make mistakes, but we continue to keep our eyes on him and put our hope in him. And this record is just an honest look into the heart of, you know, me, just a believer who struggles, who makes mistakes, who doesn't have all the answers, who sometimes can't see one foot in front of him, but really believes that Christ is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God, that he is my only hope, and that I need him every moment of every day.
Mm. I sure love your heart, Dana. And I got to tell you, Francis Frangipane's an author that he shaped my thinking in my early years. I've not read anything of his in the last several years, but one thing he wrote that stuck with me. He says, the Christian life is one of conquer and surrender. So we conquer the new land that God puts before us, and then we bow down and we surrender it back to him. And I love that, because on one hand, it's engaging your faith. You're not getting stuck in inertia or self-protection or self-preservation. You're looking to the horizon saying, where's the next place, Lord, you have for me? And then you take the land by faith, and then you bow down and you pour it back out to him, and you offer it back up to him. That so is reminds me of what you're talking about here. This is what you quoted. There's a battle between flesh and spirit, a tension of living in our brokenness and our bodies, and yet very much desiring God in every single moment. It's a daily battle for a brand new Christian or the Christian of 40 to 50 years. That is the tension to me, it's, as you said, flesh and spirit, conquer and surrender. Say another word, if you would, before we hear the first song, the song that set us free.
Yeah, the song that set us free, it really kind of came out of my struggle with depression and my, you know, when you go through depression, a lot of times you feel very alone, you feel very isolated, you feel like God has either forgotten you or people have forgotten you, and it's very easy to believe those whispers and those lies. And the song that set us free kind of paints a picture that God has not abandoned us. He has not forgotten me. He is all around me if I choose to see him and all the things around me. And as I choose to see that and I choose to believe that, he kind of opens my eyes, and the song kind of ramps up into an anthem of hope that this is not our home, and that one day I will experience absolute and true freedom in him, in heaven, with him and in his presence. And so it kind of paints that picture that if anyone's gone through a season of depression or continues to go through a season of depression, I think they'll relate to some of the imagery.
Wow, you've just got a beautiful heart, Dana. And when we come back after hearing this song, the song that set us free, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that journey through depression. Let's listen to Dana Kane's song, The Song That Set Us Free.
He's in the breath inside you. He's in the falling rain. light that shines on every morning day for you. You're never alone. He's in the bird that's singing from just outside your door. He's in the laughter bursting from every baby born for you. You're never alone. And we will overcome. And we will overcome.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Oh, wow, Danan, that's an amazing song and an amazing declaration. And I just got to say, some pretty mad guitar skills right there. Wow, really awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know who you remind me of guitar-wise is Lincoln Brewster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow.
Well, a lot of that lead guitar stuff is my lead electric player, Michael Howard. I mainly stay on acoustic and do the rhythm stuff, but thank you so much.
Wow. Great, great song. Well, we are going to take a quick short break. I want you to know we've got a handful of copies of Danan's album, Flesh and Soul. It's worshipful. It's making a declaration. And especially if you're walking through a time of depression, I think these words will speak to your soul because they're from a man who's been there, who's walked through it. And we're going to hear more about Danan's journey through depression. What are some things God taught him? What he learned? And more of his music off the new album, Flesh and Soul, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Call in with a question for Danan, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. More with artist Danan Kane in a moment. glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to singer-songwriter, worship leader Danan Kane. He's got a new album titled Flesh and Soul. We've got a few copies to give away today. Chime in with your questions. You've been a little quiet the last 2 days. I want to hear from you, okay? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Before the break, we heard a song, The Song That Set Us Free, talking a little bit about just your journey through depression. And I love how you said it amps up to this anthem declaration. You know, we're dancing in the courts to the song that sets us free. I mean, Jesus has set us free, and there's going to be a day. No more tears, no more depression, no more of this stuff. And we got to keep our eyes fixed on eternity. Tell me this, Danan. When did you first start to notice or have symptoms of depression, and what happened then?
I think it's kind of been a slow progression. I think if I look back in my life, it's always kind of had its presence in my life, as far as just a general sadness, a general kind of I don't know if you want to call it a negative spirit or whatever it might be, but I've just always had that kind of little sadness present in my life. And I think as the older I've gotten and the more I look around at a world that seems to be falling apart and not the way that I would hope it to be, I think it's you know, gotten a little bit worse. But it's definitely been a presence in my life probably as long as I can remember.
And when did you get like an official, if you don't mind me, don't answer if you don't want to, but like a diagnosis, or when did you decide that you needed to take care of this and treat it?
I'd say probably 3 or 4 years ago. I went through a very difficult breakup, a very difficult loss from a relationship standpoint. And I just started noticing like I didn't recover emotionally as quickly as most people around me. And I started to really challenge myself of why that was. And I'd say probably about four years ago when I went through a very, very difficult breakup.
I remember for me, I mentioned at the open of the show about 20 plus years ago, I walked through a valley of the shadow, and it was clear I was slipping into a depression, and had a friend who'd walked through it herself. And she says, one of the ways you can tell that you're depressed is when things that should hit you like a Nerf arrow hit you like a steel-tipped arrow. And I thought, that is so true. I mean, things just go in deeper. You feel them harder. And also the lack of motivation. I'm a pretty motivated, joyful person. But I just, honestly, it was hard to get out of bed. It was hard to get excited about things. And for me, I went through counseling once a week. I was on antidepressant for a year. And I just say that out loud because Christians, I think, have such a negative stigma. And they think I'm making a broad statement. But in general, you hear sometimes statements that all of depression is always, what's the word, that it's not ever chemical. And there are times when it's chemical. There's times I think the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, so he's behind it all. But yeah, it doesn't mean every person just needs a deliverance. Some have chemical imbalances. Well, what say you?
Yeah, it's depression is such a hard, it's a hard animal to talk about because there are so many different aspects to it, and it probably looks a little bit different for everybody. You know, there are things, there are circumstantial elements to it, there are psychological elements, there are chemical elements, there are spiritual elements. There's so many different things that contribute to it. And so when I listen to someone who's going through depression, and a lot of times I just listen. You know, I want to hear their story. I want to hear what they're going through because it's not always the same. And I think the mistake that maybe sometimes we make in counseling someone with depression, or even in the church, of kind of dismissing depression or kind of shaming it, is that we don't listen. Mm-hmm. We assume that we know what's wrong without actually walking in the footsteps of the people that are going through it. And so for myself, you know, I only know my journey in it. I only know what I've gone through. I only know to the degree that I struggle with it. But it's allowed me to shut my mouth more and listen more and really look into someone's eyes and hear their story, and then maybe I have a word for them, or maybe I know how to pray for them better or encourage them with something that I've learned or gone through. But I think it does look a little bit different for everybody, and there is no one quick, easy fix for any of it, because it really is different. for everyone.
Or one quick, easy reason for it. I mean, you know, for me, my counselor said, this is, you've come through a series of overlapping, unresolved, hard crises. Just when you came up for air, the next wave crashed into you, and you never got a chance to sort through one before the next one hit. Of course you're going to feel beat up by the storm. And that was my situation. But others, it's something different. But the point being, there needs to be grace. I love what you're saying, that we've got to be willing to listen and not be so quick to offer platitudes or fix-it strategies, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I even think from a cultural standpoint, you know, we look at maybe third world countries and we look at places overseas, and they're dealing with a lot of times very physical problems, and those physical problems kind of supersede the emotional, because they're dealing with such real, tangible physical problems that a lot of times they don't even get in touch with the deeper, you know, emotional need. But in our culture, a lot of times our physical needs are met. Our things that on the surface, you know, we have what we quote unquote need, and yet we still feel empty. We still feel like we are searching for purpose in this life, and there's got to be more to life than this. And when we go through emotional breakups, the things that hit us the hardest, you know, we realize it more because we have those other things already in place, and yet we're broken and empty and hurting. And so I think there's a reason why in this country that's so quote-unquote blessed with all these financial blessings and all these things that are supposed to make us happy, and yet we're one of the most depressed countries in the entire world. It's because we realize that at the end of the day, we have everything that we quote-unquote need, but yet we still long for more. There's something that we're longing for that has not been resolved. There's a tension that's going on that we see, that there's more to what we see. And so I think depression is very prevalent within our culture and our country, because it really is to the heart of us. It's to the core of us. It's to the soul of us. It's to, it really is something way deeper than sometimes we can even put words to.
Wow. Tell me about the song, I Miss You.
Yeah, I Miss You was actually that relationship that was maybe a catalyst to a deeper level of that depression. But I think I've basically been in love once in my life, and this is the story of that ending, and then years later really having a difficult time laying it down, really having a difficult time with regret and mistakes that I had made, and really genuinely missing her.
Mm.
And feeling embarrassed to even admit that, you know, 2 or 3 years after the breakup, you know, friends of mine would look at me and kind of roll their eyes and, man, when are you going to get over her? And at the same time, I'm like, I can't help it. I feel stuck. I feel broken. I feel like that person crawled inside of my soul and my heart, and now they're gone, and I'm different. And so I think, you know, it's just a raw, honest look into that brokenness, that it's not pretty, that it was messy, that I made mistakes. And when I started singing it live, I just had people come up after the end of concerts with tears in their eyes saying, I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly what you're feeling, you know, whether it's to death or to a broken relationship or whatever, it has caused that person that meant the world to you, that they left or that they're gone. I think we've all walked through that, and we know how painful that is.
Well, let's listen in. I Miss You.
Subtle shaking me down to the hardest, to the heart of it. Subtleizer breaking me down to the waters. I don't know how to move. fell in love, but in our hearts we were delivered and strong. There's no wonder we couldn't hold on. I don't know how to move on. I don't know how to move on. I don't know how to move on. All I know is that I miss you. I don't know how to move on. I don't know how to move on. I don't know how to move on. All I know is that I love you. Yeah. All my failures, all my mistakes, how they haunt me, how can I forget? The way you loved me, the way we were, broken prophets, strong but insecure. We were brilliant, but yet we failed.
Good song. Thank you, Dana. That's a great song. Thanks for sharing that. Wow. Talking to Dana Kane. He's a worship leader, singer, songwriter. His album is Flesh and Soul. Got not even 15 minutes left, so I want to squeeze in a few more songs if we can. Tell us, Dana, about the song One Step Ahead.
Yeah, One Step Ahead is basically just going through a season where I couldn't tell exactly what God was doing. You know, I couldn't see in front of me. I really could just see one step ahead and really just trusting him that he was good even when I didn't feel it, and that he had a purpose in what I was going through, and just with just the simple desire of calling out and saying, God, change me into what you want. I don't know why I'm walking through this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where you're taking me, but I just have this simple plea. Change me into what you want. Take me to where you want me to go.
Oh, very good. Let's hear One Step Ahead.
I can only see one step ahead. I can only see one loaf of bread. Your love is overcome, your love is overcome, your love is overcome my world. Whoa, whoa.
Love is overcome. Your love. That's One Step Ahead, talking to Dane and Kane today. It's Artist Corner, first hour of Live the Promise. We're trying to get through some of these songs on his album, Flesh and Soul. And I want to squeeze in, Dane, in as many as we can before the top of the hour. Can you give us a little backstory on the song, No Words?
No Words is the single off the record. And basically, it's just that challenge that when I look at the life of Job and I look at the life of David and I look at the life of Paul, they all went through seasons where they were they were going through very difficult things where they felt like maybe forgotten or they didn't understand why they had to go through the circumstances that they did. And with me, I feel like I've been going through one of those extended seasons. And a lot of times we feel like maybe it's something that we're doing wrong or that God is punishing us. And sometimes there are instances where he reprimands us and he guides us and he does those things. But a lot of times I think he asks us to go through those seasons to see if we will still say that he is good, even though life isn't turning out the way that we want it to. Is our worship based on his character and who he is, or is it based on the fact that we're getting what we want? You know, so No Words is just kind of this proclamation that there are no words for what you've done for me. I love you, even though I'm going through this stuff, and I'm hopeful that you're going to bring me out of this season.
Oh, beautiful. Let's hear No Words by Dane and Kane.
You were faithful, you were strong, even when the world is burning to the ground. You are always in control. Even in the midst of all the broken homes, you were waiting for me to rise. You were waiting for me, you're coming for me. You were burning, I'm alive. Even when I couldn't feel moving.
No Words by Dane and Kane. The title of his album is Flesh and Soul. We're going to try to squeeze in two more songs before the end of the show today. Dane, talk to us about the song Love Song.
Love Song is, yeah, I'm 35, and one of the longings of my heart is to be married, and that has not been met yet. And so I've really struggled with that in and out of my life for a long time now. And Love Song was kind of God getting to me and really getting me back to my first love, my first actual love, which was him. And that understanding that no one will meet my desires like I desire them to be met, quite like him.
Mm-hmm.
And though I have that very sincere and beautiful desire that he is everything that I need, and if he chooses to bless me in that other way, awesome. But if not, Love Song is just basically a love song to him.
Indeed. All right, let's listen in Love Song by Dane and Kane.
As glass it has. and it strives for a home. All I want is to be loved, not for anything other than who I am. You're the love that can bring us alive.
That might be my favorite song off the whole album. I love that love song by Dana Kane. Dana, this has been a sweet time talking with you, and the boy, the hour just went right by. Wondering as we wrap up if you would pray for that person listening today who's walking right in that valley of the shadow. Would you pray?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. And I just pray for anyone out there that might be feeling forgotten, that might be feeling lost, that might be feeling like the world is falling apart around them. And I just pray that you would be near to them. I pray that you would give them a revelation in their mind that they are not forgotten, that you do love them, that you created them for a purpose, that you created them, and when you were finished forming them, said that they were beautiful, that they were good, and that they had a purpose upon their heart. God, I pray hope into their life, and I pray that they would reach out to those around them that love them, and that they would be honest with their struggles and know that they're not alone, that we all walk through them and we need each other very much. God, we love you, and we just we ask that you would come. We ask that you would comfort us. We ask that you would be near to us, and we ask that you would love on us, that we may love you back. God, we give you this time in Jesus' name.
Amen. Dane and Kane, thank you for this time, and may the Lord himself give you the deepest desires of your heart. I pray that would be the case, sir. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here.
Great to be with you. Title of his album, excuse me, again, is Flesh and Soul. Coming up next is Dr. Greg Smalley talking relationships. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.